Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Okay, listen up, Rolling Stones fans, because this week a book dedicated to the band is out in paperback.
Myself, I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. Stole many a man.
Some of the unmistakable sounds of the Rolling Stones. They are still touring after more than a half a century together as a band. Keith Richards plucking away on his guitar, Mick Jagger galloping back and forth across the stage. They just played shows before thousands of fans in Sweden and Denmark and will tour in Australia and New Zealand in the fall. Bill Janovitz has written two books about the band. His latest is Rocks Off, 50 tracks that tell the story of the Rolling Stones, and it has just come out in paperback. The book is divided into sections based on the different guitar players who have been in the band, and it begins with the Brian Jones years. And when we spoke last summer, I asked Bill Janovitz which song from that era best illustrates what was going on with the Stones at the time.
Well, I think for the mid-60s, early mid-60s, you have to go with I Can't Get No Satisfaction. It was the song that blasted them into superstardom worldwide here. You know, it takes into consideration advertising, and the Vietnam War is in there, and there's always the undercurrent of sex with the Stones.
They're trying to tap into some of the angst that existed, especially among the younger generation at this time. How is it different from what some of the other bands like the Beatles were doing at the same time?
Well, the Beatles were still really writing about sort of love songs. You know, I say the Stones were writing always lust songs, you know, I think. And there was certainly that conscious effort on the part of their manager, Andrew Lou Goldham, to sort of play that up. You know, here were these rebellious, kind of filthy guys at the time, you know. They were thought of as kind of really a parent's nightmare. And that kind of goes to sort of what happened with Ed Sullivan. And here are these kind of shaggy dogs. And you got all kind of complaints come in from parents. And he swore to never have them back again the first time.
You're talking about their first appearance at Ed Sullivan on the Ed Sullivan show, and he comes out and says, "I'm so sorry about this. They won't be back again." Of course, then they came back,
seven times, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Well, what is it that they were bringing to the music scene in the United States especially that we just hadn't seen before?
They were defiantly not rock and roll when they first started. I'm talking about like 63, you know. They were not a rock and roll band. They were an R&B band, because rock and roll still was, that was a marketing term for teeny bopper stuff. But there were these undercurrents. It wasn't just the Stones. It was the Who. It was the Animals. It was, you know, eventually Jimi Hendrix were really kind of tapping into this heavier sound. And certainly it came a little bit from drugs and just sort of the zeitgeist itself.
Now, Brian Jones dies in 1969. He's replaced by Mick Taylor on guitar. Does he change the Stones sound for the better, do you think?
Well, I think the Stones sound was evolving way past where they left Brian Jones. It was really Keith handling most of the parts for about two or three records, Beggar's Banquet and Let It Bleed. So when Mick Taylor came, kind of changed the sound from a real rhythm guitar band to sort of a rhythm plus a lead. And he adds this new virtuosity to the band that they didn't possess themselves.
What's the best example of that?
Well, I think from that era, I would have to go with Tumbling Dice from Exile on Main Street. Really kind of captures that new early 70s Stones kind of groove.
Let's take a listen to that. So this is very emblematic of what was going on at that time.
They've really settled into a sound, and it's funny because this is the holy grail of grooves. Joe Strummer from The Clash said it has a mystical beat. The band is just clicking, and you know, the songs are all, the lyrics of the song, it's about gambling, it's about, you know, sort of a lot of blues tropes, but it's uniquely Stones.
And this is the period in which we get Brown Sugar, Wild Horses, a lot of songs that people know very well.
Yeah, I mean, this is their golden period.
So the last period in the book is about Ron Wood's time taking over as the second guitar player. Some hardcore Stones fans might not give him enough credit, but what about you? What do you think about Ron Wood?
I think Ron's underrated. I mean, he was chosen from a list of like some of the best guitar players of the era. Now, he's not thought of as much of a virtuoso as Mick Taylor or as much of like a great multi-instrumentalist, like sort of a more of a savant that Brian Jones was, who could just pick up any instrument. Ostensibly and just play it. But really, he does play some amazing solos, and he plays pedal steel guitar all over Some Girls and great acoustic guitar, and he did some great stuff with the Faces. He's kind of an underrated presence.
And the sound gets even a little disco in songs like Miss You.
You know, Ron was doing some more funk records himself, and of course Mick was famous for going to clubs and sort of loving that sort of R&B and soul and dance stuff. He was always sort of current. And they were actually recording with Billy Preston and touring with him during the mid-70s, and he was the one that came up with sort of that bass line, I Miss You.
How have they been able to survive all of these years? I mean, we're talking about the beginnings back in the early 60s. I saw them in the 90s or something like that, and they're still performing.
Yeah, well, I remember, you know, 82 or whatever, 81 tour, and us wise-ass 15-year-olds going, geez, are these old guys in their 30s on stage?
Although you see Mick running up and down the stage. They don't look old to
well,
me.
Well, I mean, I'm talking when they were 30s. Never mind now that they're 70. I mean, it's quite amazing. And they were, but they always looked at it as like, look, they're, you know, Muddy Waters would have died on the stage. Howlin' Wolf played there until he was, what, 70-something years old. So they looked at their blues heroes as examples. And, you know, I understand the humor of it for people to kind of disparage these old guys, but I think it's an amazing accomplishment to put aside all of the concerns or to sort of get through it all and collaborate with the same guys for 50 years. That's quite an accomplishment.
Well, Bill Janovitz, author of Rocks Off, 50 Tracks That Tell the Story of the Rolling Stones, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Our conversation with Bill Janovitz from last summer. His book about the Rolling Stones comes out in paperback today. And more information on that is at hereandnow.org. Bill's band, by the way, is Buffalo Tom. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Here and Now.